different generation. Lamatzeach Menigines Mizmar Shir, we're up to page 568. This is a very important Mizmar. This Mizmar is really is the what appears to be the real Magen David. The Magen David. This is the Mizmar. This Mizmar we also said every night, those who say it, during Sviras Ha'omer. Okay, there are other times, I just can't put my mind to it. When else do we say this Mizmar? We say this Mizmar many times, but it's said by Sviras Ha'omer every single night. If you count the first, Pasuk Beis, there are seven words. Elokim, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. And the last Pasuk Ches, is also seven words. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. No, they are not. I think this a lot. This Mizmar is very. It's short, sweet. It's a very, very popular, very mystical Mizmar, and it's associated with the menorah. Many shuls today have in the menorah. They have a picture of the menorah, yeah. And if you look very carefully at the menorah, you'll see that this Mizmar is written. Some siddurim have it, right? We'll try to give it out at some point. We'll take a day or two to do this Mizmar. They take the menorah and they put the words of this Mizmar alongside the entire menorah. There's a lot of mysticism, symbolism with this Mizmar, and this Mizmar is called the Magen David. Now, when you say the word Magen David today, everyone right away thinks of the Israeli flag. Everyone thinks of a cemetery. It's a very important symbol. You know, the Magen David, don't underestimate how many people have been identified as Jews because the Magen David appeared on their Matzeva. Okay, it's incredible, it's astonishing how powerful the symbol of the Magen David has been for the Jewish people for at least 1,000 years. And people that no one would even have a hava amina were Jewish, suddenly when you go and look at the kevarim of their parents or so-and-so and they see a Magen David, it opens up a whole world. Wait a minute, what is going on? I'll give you an example.
I heard a story by someone who was in Russia, an American who was back in the 80s. And there was a kid who came out and told his mother, I saw this lady with a funny-looking chain on her.
Yeah.
And her mother says, that means she's Jewish. Stay away from her. Wow. He was Jewish, too. And because she said stay away, of course, the kid became curious. And he became curious, and he found out he was Jewish, and he pushed him to get a good education.
Something else. I heard over the weekend, I think it was Rabbi J.J. Schaffner, who is a chaplain also. And during World War II, Jewish soldiers defaced their dog tags on where the letter indicating religion was, in order that if
his
they were captured, but he's still on this mission. If they were captured, they were afraid that the Germans would treat them worse than regular POWs.
But they would shoot them. They wouldn't treat you.
Those who died were buried in Goyish along with the Goyim, with a tzelet. So his mission is to locate the graves of those soldiers.
They're Jewish.
And they can't move the grave. That's army rules. However, they have a special ceremony for changing the marker.
Magen David.
Yes.
You said they can't move it?
I heard about this here. There's more information. I heard about this like over a year ago, which sometimes the Jewish soldiers, they would somehow like mark off the age so they wouldn't be captured. And then when they died, the families could bring them back. But a lot of times the family didn't want to bring it back because they the way the bodies were. So when they're buried where they were, they had a cross on. And then there was some organization about finding out about it. And they found out that some of the descendants weren't Jewish anymore. So they had to approach them in a certain way. So the person who was involved with it said that when they contacted them, the way they spoke to them, they agreed, their ancestors agreed to the descendants of the person who died, they agreed that even though they weren't Jewish, that they respect the soldier, and that that age should be changed. They had to get permission.
In 1948 and 49, a ship of bodies coming back from Europe, because a lot of families wanted to be buried. So they had grave ships that was just filled with thousands and thousands of people. But you had to say you wanted to do it, because a lot of people just didn't want to, they didn't want to get involved with it. They were sitting with their
Okay, so this mizmar, it's impossible to really dwell upon the importance of this mizmar. Again, this mizmar is associated with the concept of it being the Magen David. Now, we'll try. I'm not likely, but we'll try to just by going through it at least get some appreciation. We associate generally the symbol that's on the Israeli flag with the Magen David. By the way, we once had a whole shiur on this. It's a fantastic say by Rabbi Trugman, an interesting person. He put in a lot of Trugman, T-R-U-G-M-A-N, Trugman. He put out he's a very interesting person, and he put a lot of very, very interesting sarm. And we once, a long time ago, he put out a sefer, it's one of a kind, called a sefer on the Magen David. It's a small sefer on the Magen David, and it's an unbelievable sefer, there's not a lot of material about the Magen David to get to what exactly is this symbol. So we've all been brought up as children that the uniqueness of the Magen David is there are 6 points, referring to the Hashem is everywhere, up, down, down, right, left, all around, here, there, and everywhere. That's where he can be found. Everyone knows this rhyme from a child, children sing this, and the 6 different points of the Magen David represent that Hashem is everywhere. The 4 Ruchos HaShamayim, and Lamala, and Lamata.
The Anuim also.
The Anuim, the Tanufa, Ma'ala Moir, Lessig's Parashat Rashi, Ma'ala Moir, Me'ilchum Moivi, all 6, Hashem is everywhere. David HaMelech, through his Tehillim, is Megale, that Hashem is everywhere. I mean, I don't have a makar for this. Maybe there is a makar for this. That's what the average person will tell you about the Magen David. They stick with you. He says there in Chazal, there are 3 shields. There are 3 shields. There's the Magen David, the Magen Shlomo, and the Magen Avraham. That we say in davening, every day. Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. I remember when I was in camp, Magen Avraham. Okay, Magen Avraham. And they would try to encourage the boys to daven very well, to answer Amen. So they would practice in camp, Magen Avraham. Baruch Atah Hashem, Baruch Uvirich Shlomo, Magen Avraham. The way they would practice in camp, Magen Avraham, was by practicing with Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen Avraham. There are 3 shields. The shield of Shlomo has 5 points. Okay? The shield that the Magen Shlomo. Why? I don't remember. And then there's the Magen Avraham, which has 8 points. And in fact, there is a shul, one of the oldest. There's a shul in Eretz Yisrael. They've archaeological digs, and they found they were able to uncover basically the entire floor of the shul. And there is the Magen Avraham on the floor, this big, beautiful shield. He has a picture of it in his book. The star of 8 points. And that he claims, he has a lot of interesting material, is the Magen Avraham. Now, he writes there, I think this is more Kabbalah, I don't think it's his stuff, but the combination of all 3 is an acronym for Chava. Avraham's shield has 8, Ches. The shield of David has 6. And the shield of Shlomo has five. That's Ches, Vav, Hey, Chava. The first woman. The first woman, Chava. And it's not a coincidence, because what does a kala do under the chuppah? She goes in circles around her husband seven times to demonstrate that her role is to shield her husband. Okay, you know, I don't know if anyone knows that there's a person by the name of Fred Rothschild. Does anyone know that name? Fred Rothschild. Mr. Marillis knows who he is. He just passed. No, it was not. He just passed when he was 94, I think. 94 years old. So I knew him. I knew him pretty well. And not buddy buddy, but he was my father. Zichrono Livracha came to the neighborhood. He embraced my father, and he was very, very close with my father for many, many years. Very, very close. And he was very, very active in the young Israel of Avenue J in the early years. He was active in everything. He was a very active member in the young Israel of Flatbush, and then he was active in the Talmud Torah, and then he was active in the young Israel of Avenue J. And then, and there was another shul I think he was very active in. And then, at the last years, he wasn't involved at all in later years in Avenue J. He became pretty much part of Rabbi Kahn's shul. He was pretty much, that's where he was anchored. He was a very, very fascinating person. He was very, very active in just about everything. Everything. He was very involved in many different areas. So he passed away. And I have a lot of memories, so flood of memories of him, his wife, his children. I grew up with one of his children, Shmuel. His daughter was my third grade English teacher on the Lower East Side in MTJ. I remember her very well. I went to her wedding. Yeah, right. His son. That's his son. He has a number of children. He has a son. A flood of memories. He was Nifter Erev Shavuos. And the Kemat had no Shiva. They had one day of Shiva. The whole thing was one day. And so his wife is also, Tibadu L'chaim Toiv Maruchim, is also a fascinating person in her own right. Very, very dignified person. Anyone who knows, like, it's not possible to explain.
He's at the Levaya.
Oh, he was at the Levaya.
One of my sons.
Yes. Married.
His wife is a granddaughter.
Rosenshine is also related. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. Okay, whatever it is. So he. So everything I said is accurate. Is everything I'm saying accurate?
Very.
Okay, accurate. So I went to the Menachem Avil, and his mother, the mother is not a youngster. Okay, he was 94 years old. And he said to me, his parents were married for 68 years. And his mother, meaning the wife of Mr. Rothschild, Zichron Levracha, he said to me a few times, for 68 years, her entire focus was her husband. Is to basically, I remember the exact words, to basically protect him, to shelter him, to support him, to care for him. That's what she did. For 68 years, everything was focused on taking care of her husband. Now, you'll tell me, oh, big deal, every wife is like that, right? Right? Every wife is like that. Well, yes, okay, yes, I'm not saying that. But if you knew her, if you knew them, okay, or Lederfield, am I making things up here?
No,
I'm saying it the way it is. Okay, yeah, it's hard to explain. If you knew him and you knew her, okay, you got it. That's right. 68 years, total devotion to her husband. And that's what a kala does by the chuppah. She goes around her chasan seven times as a symbol, as a gesture. This is my role. I know in this American culture,
five, six, and eight,
what?
And the shields of 5, 6, and 8, they go seven times. You know, yeah.
What do you mean five?
The different shields, the different morgane, One is five, one is six, one is eight. So she walks around seven times, not five, not six, not eight.
Okay. Yeah. Chava was the first woman. And I know in today's society, this woke society, a woman should serve the husband. Adarab, the husband should bow down to the wife. Okay, I understand that. But you do see in Chazal, there is such a concept of devotion, of a wife's devotion to her husband. V'haraya, what does she do under the chuppah? She's misavev, isha yisoyvev gever. The isha circles the husband, not as idol worship, but as an expression, I'm here to protect you. I'm here to put you on a pedestal. V'chulu v'chulu. I know all the jokes. V'chulu v'chulu.
I like to say,
see such a woman.
She enters his orbit.
Okay, and that's what Chava was to Adam. That was the role in a biblical, traditional sense. I remember there was a boy talking to a shatran, and he told the shatran, what kind of girl you want, this, and he said to the shatran, I want a girl, he said to her, that I do not have to make her happy. She can be independently, she should be independent. I'm not looking for a girl that the girl who needs me to make her happy. It would be like a marriage, a business arrangement. She'll do her thing, I'll do my thing. So the shatran starts laughing, and he says, oh boy, you don't know the first thing about marriage. You don't know the first thing. But it's interesting, this idea of, you can't generalize. Everyone knows every marriage is a world to itself. There are no rules in Shidduchim. If there's anything in this world that there are no rules to, it's marriage and Shidduchim.
You can't, I attended a wedding for the chairs. They put out this pamphlet explaining the ceremony.
Yeah.
So I don't remember, but about this going around seven times, it says like the Jews were circling in Jericho, the walls.
I was just
going to
mention that.
Jericho, conquer. Yeah.
To break down the barrier between the
barrier, husband and wife. She's going to conquer him. She goes around seven times. She's going to conquer and
she's
totally...
She's going to put him in the grave.
You got it. And when they get... And just like in Yericho, they blew the shofar. When they get home, she's going to blow the shofar. And he will then sink into the ground. You got it. Okay, but that's not the pashut shot.
By the way, there is a pasuk.
Yeah.
Hashem Elokim borech hadasha ba'aretz nekeva
to serve giver. It's a new concept.
It's a new thing.
New thing. Okay, what does it mean exactly? So, yeah. But Chava is the ultimate mogging. Chava is the ultimate shield for her. That's Hashem has given a person. A person has slaves. We had in Rashi last week, Rashi Chumash last week, in Parashas, it was in Parashas B'chukosai, I don't remember, is where Rashi, who's going to serve me? If all of the Canaanim, if I come into Eretz Yisrael, I can't ask the Eved Ivri to serve me, he's just a worker. And the Canaanim I have to kill, and this, who is going to serve me? So in the 21st century, you'll say, go serve yourself, buddy. Go learn how to make a cup of coffee yourself.
And learn
how to turn on the washing machine. There are some men that don't even know how to turn on the washing machine. Would you believe it?
I didn't know how until my wife
did. Ay, ay.
I'm
sorry.
I had to show me how to do it.
Okay, but there are some noshin tzidkoniyos that mamish do everything for their husband. The husband literally doesn't know.
When Bez did when they extended the city, also, they used to circle.
They encircle the city seven times. That is a principle of encircling. But
cemetery.
In Isha, right, you go around the cemetery, right, so you go to the cemetery. In Isha, tisoyvev gover. There's a principle of an Isha, she encircles her husband. And what does that mean exactly? I don't know if Kalman is saying it's a new concept in Hanani, Torah Chadasha. It's a new thing. You see today in this generation that we live in, now they're up to new Mishagasim now. Now they have other lunacies on their mind to take care of. whatever. But it used to taka be, it's taka true thing that Noshim in our generation have achieved incredible prominence, independence, like never before. But traditionally, Isha Yisoyvev Gavar, and Isha is the ultimate Mogen, a Mogen. And it's not a coincidence that the three shields in Yadus, the Mogen Avraham, the Mogen David, these we actually have in the Nusach HaTfilah, the Mogen Avraham, and the Mogen Shlomo, which is not as popular, but it's still there's a lot of, I mean, I think in the encyclopedia, Ishei, is it called Ishei? No, what is it called? The famous old encyclopedia. Ishei Yisrael? What's it called? It's an old encyclopedia. It's a very hush encyclopedia. So it has a nice entry about the Mogen Shlomo. All the Mekoros, so the Mogen Shlomo, there are 5 points. Rabbi Trugman, a very interesting person, very fascinating person, he explains the three shields are Rosh Teva Ischava. Ches, Mogen Avraham. Avraham obviously is 8. The Bris Milah. The Bris Milah, Avraham is 8. David is 6. What's the significance of 6? I really don't know. There must be some. I go back and read the book again. And Shlomo is 5. What do you mean 6? There must be something very deep. You know, you can say a million God, 6, Shisha Siri Mishnah, Tarshabal Pech, Vesnish, I don't know. 5 is Shlomo, and the three letters together spell Chava. Chava is the first Isha, and that's what a Mogen is. Chava and Isha is Isha Yisoyvev Gover. Now, this Mizmar, now putting that aside, now the Mogen David, this is a big, big sugya. Where did the symbol of the Mogen David come from? Is this have roots in Chazal, the symbol that we're so familiar with, the Israeli flag? Haloi Dover, nothing happens with coincidence. You gotta be really, my worthless opinion, to have your head examined, not to appreciate that this incredible hashkacha, that the symbol of Judaism today, of a Jew, is the Mogen David, whether you like it or not, the Israeli flag. Mayor, I have my Israeli flag. I actually had a big fight in the Daf Yomi. I have the Asat Mechassid, and I said to him, you said such a gval de chish, I want to give you a present. May you hear the story? I want to give you a present. So after Asat Mechassid, he said such a vart. So he laughs at me, and he says, what are you going to give me, an Israeli flag? So I said, how in the world did you know? And look what I pull out, Mayor. How did you know?
I got one of those.
How did you know?
Guy that Ben-Gurion was a big
tzaddik.
He saw that they would burn the
declaration
of Israel.
All right, let's not go there. I don't want to hear this. And then I took out the flag, and we had the few chavra, and everyone wanted it. All these they all want. I said, no, you're not getting my flag. This is my, you want a flag, you get your own. I'm not giving up my flag. I carry this with me. No joke. Not in this my weekday jacket. Okay, so you have over here the Mogen David. This is the Baruch Ato Hashem Mogen David. 6 sides. This is the symbol of, where does this come from? There are 6 points. There are 6 points. It's right, he does. That's right.
I think it has to do with the two triangles.
Right. So when David went to war.
Just as a suggestion, just a thought. May have to work it out. It says, Isha Chashuva, Ateres Vailo. Ateres Vailo, the crown of her husband. I'm just wondering the crown.
The circle.
How many points does the crown have?
Interesting. So in any event, we have over here this thing called the Mogen David, which is a sugya in and of itself, and there's a lot to be said. Today, obviously, you know, the those that are not yet Zionists, they sort of have pushed this symbol to the side, even though all of their parents and grandparents have this symbol on their matzavis, okay? And if not for that symbol on their matzavis, where would they be today? Okay, it's there's a lot to be said about this, and there are a lot of stories and a lot of this, a lot of that. Not now.
The Holocaust was the symbol.
That was a symbol. This is a symbol that goes back 1,000 years. Exactly. The yellow star is the Magen David. Exactly. It goes back 1,000 years. I think the earliest source is a grave marker which had the Magen David to differentiate it from. So it's not so pashut. The Ruzil HaMalach, that's what they want to say. They want to say that's where it comes from, Ruzil HaMalach. And there are a lot of symbols over there. It's a little bit whatever it is. But this Mizmor Samach Dalet appears to be. Samach Zayin appears to be the real Magen David or another Magen David. It is a Magen David that this Mizmor represents the concept of the Magen, Baruch Atah Hashem, Magen David. The Magen David is captured in this Mizmor. And this, the symbol of the Magen David in this Mizmor is associated by the Rishonim and the Kabbalists with the Menorah. And the Menorah appears to be what is called today in Chazal, and this is the Magen David. Many shuls, even the Litvish shuls, even though this is purely a Kabbalistic concept, you go into shul, you will see by the Amud, you will see an image of the menorah with this mizmar inscribed on all the parts of the menorah. A 7-branch menorah with this mizmar, the words of this mizmar etched in. They have all these lucite and they light up, glass, and all these different fancy mess with the dafka, this mizmar. This mizmar, the symbol of the menorah, is the Magen David. There are many grave markers that have the menorah. Many grave markers. Go to the cemetery, you look around, there's the Magen David, of course, but there are many grave markers that on the Matzevos that do not have the Magen David, and they have instead a menorah. Very common.
The woman has the menorah, and the man has the...
Yeah?
Has the menorah.
They have a nair because they light candles, Shabbos candles, yeah. But they have Amish to do menorah of 7 branches? Okay, I could be, I don't know.
There's nothing to do with 7 branches.
Okay.
Saying the woman
has the menorah. Okay, all right. And a chanami. Okay, so with that, okay, we have to obviously delve into this a lot more. It's a very short mizmah. We're not going to spend all that much time on it.
Amim. It's not talking about Israel.
It's protecting us from the amim. That's the mugging. Times it says the word amim. It is a protection. Now, what is this about? The Mizmar generally, look a little like the first shir that every Mizmar is who wrote it? Mi Omar El Mi. What is the context? La Matzeach for the conductor bin Neginos. What does it mean bin Neginos? We'll see the second Mizmar shir. Notice David's name does not appear here in this Mizmar either. So over here we finally have a Mefarish that says it the way it is. Which one is it? I already forgot which one that says it the way it is. Who wrote this Mizmar? Let's see if I can find that. I don't even remember anymore. I don't know who wrote this. I don't know. We're on page 568. Let's see that we will come across. Let's just go through all of the Pasuk Aleph to get a flavor of who wrote this Mizmar. Samach Zayin. Let's first look at the Mitzudas David on page 569. Pasuk, there is no Pasuk Aleph. Okay, let's look at Rashi. Does Rashi say anything over here? No. Let's look at the Radak. Lamnatzeach. Gam zeh hamizmor nemer al kibbutz golus Yerushalayim. Okay, so the or nusach acher goluyos Yisrael.
You said 569.
569 in the radak 569 in the radak on the top. Pasuk aleph. Lamatzeach gam zeh hamizmor nemer al kibbutz golus Yerushalayim. So according to the radak, this is a continuation of the previous mizmor. According to the previous Mizmor, we had, besides the Malbim, who was a Chiddush of Menashe, 4 parts, most of the other Mefarshim, especially Rashi, or Mitzudos, it's describing Yemos HaMashiach, kibbutz goliyos. So according to the Radak, we have to keep in mind that this mizmor is carrying on in that theme of what's going to be Yimos HaMashiach. What does Ibn Ezra say? There is no Ibn Ezra. Lamatzech Elokim Yichanenu. Gam ze hamizmor lo yodanu mi chiberoi. Ibn Ezra says it the way it is. He says it the way it is. We do not know who wrote this mizmor because there is no name. There's no attribution. You must have attribution. Over here, this interesting, even anonymity. I always talk, we would talk about this. Is there any value in reading letters to the editor, anonymous letters to the editor? Will a publisher print an anonymous letter? So some do. It depends on the publication. Every publication has its own set of rules. And over here, David, whoever was Mechaber Sefer Tehillim, anonymous. Pilei Ploim. We don't know, according to the Ibn Ezra, we do not know who is the author. Whoever was Mesader Sefer Tehillim has given their stamp of approval. I take responsibility. This mizmor is writ al pi Ruach HaKodesh, and it belongs in Sefer Tehillim. Not necessarily did David or any of the 10 names that are mentioned in Sefer Tehillim write this mizmor. Very powerful. Who wrote Sefer Tehillim? Each mizmor is on its own. Let's see the Malbim. Fine, Malbim. Pasuk Aleph. Now, this is also something we had before. Lamed Seach. Husad al Horov Shahi Bimei David Shaloi Shanim. We had this. This is the same thing we had before. We had this two mizmorim ago, or three mizmorim ago. We had a few mizmorim describing a very, very critical moment in Jewish history, the 3-year famine towards the end of the life of David, where David made a mistake. He counted the Jewish people. We have to go through the sugya. I don't remember all the details. And there was a famine for 3 years, and the Jewish people barely survived. And when it was over, and there were many mizmorim that were said during the famine, and there were mizmorim that were composed as a thank you to Hashem when the famine was over. So he writes here, Chusad al harav ha'shoy b'mei David, shol ha'shodim v'yim ha'shem ha'shol v'ilbeis ha'domim v'nos nodo. So this is going on. What am I saying? This is going on a different episode. It was part of Shabbat May David. Now that was from the Givonim. Right? So why was there a famine? So David was a she'ilas chaloim, or whatever that means. Why is there a famine? And the response from heaven was because of Shaul's sin. Shaul murdered Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim because Shaul felt that they were all Roitfim. They were all Moirid the Malchus. They rebelled against Shaul by supporting David, and David was viewed in the eyes of Shaul as a Moirid the Malchus, and Shaul had them all executed because they gave David bread. David was starving. Chazal said that he had what's called bulmois. What is bulmois? Some type of starvation.
Bulimia,
and they gave him, there was a famine, they didn't have much food there either, and they gave him the lechem haponim, choyro hasha, pikuach nefesh, is doicha everything. It's doicha everything, and they gave David from even the lechem haponim, even though David is not a Kohen. I went to a bris, and everyone was running to get out of there to go to work, and the Baal HaBris said to me, bris mila is doicha Shabbos, but it's not doiche chol. It's a very good line. You hear the word? Bris mila is doiche Shabbos, but bris mila is not doiche chol. During the weekday, when you have a bris, during the weekday, 6:30 in the morning, and everyone's got to be out of there by 7:30, and everyone's on the run, and the caterer has to put out aluminum foil and bags. Run. Everyone's out. It's not doiche chol. Okay, so David was not a kohen. David has no right even the lechem upon him, but it's pikuach nefesh. They gave him from the lechem upon him. There was obviously no food. And what else? They gave him the sword of Goliath in order for him a weapon. They gave him weapons, the right to bear arms. The Constitution. Which amendment, Michal?
Two.
Second Amendment. The Second Amendment. They gave him right to bear arms. They gave him the sword of Goliath. And Shaul says, no, you can't do this. And he considered all of the people in Noiv to be a moired malchus, and he gave the order to Doyek to have them all killed. What was the consequence? The Givonim lost their parnasa. They lost their parnasa. You know, it's like in America, I was reading yesterday, Budweiser and Target. Okay, they're now being they're boycotted. Very good. I'm the biggest fan of boycotting all these Meshugayim. But what are the consequences? Who suffers from the boycott? The truck drivers. The people who stock the shelves. The people who work in these companies. The average Joe in America, they're losing their jobs. Because when these companies are boycotted, because they become nitrofedaitum, so $16 billion. Loss of business. Who suffers at the end of the day? The average American who does the accountants and the truck drivers and the stock boys and the people who print the labels and the people who do this. Innocent people, they suffer. So what's the solution? I don't know what the solution is, but it's a big problem. Everything's a big problem. So when Shaul killed Noif Ir HaKoyhanim, the Givonim, who are not even Jews, the Givonim, or maybe they were Magayer, there was a whole question about their Gairus, whatever it was, they suffered. And they had complaints against the Jewish people that you boycotted Noiv by killing them all, and now we who work, we were the support system, we were the truck drivers, brought the water, we provided the fuel, the Shoyve Eitzim, the Chitve Eitzim, the Shoyve Mayim, we don't have jobs. We can't pay tuition. We can make ends meet. And we have a complaint. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened to their tsar, and Hashem brought a famine for 3 years. And when Klal Yisrael woke up, what's going on over here? And they went and they inquired, Min HaShamayim, I don't know how you do that, but a She'elas Chaloim, and they were told it's because of the Givonim. Because the Givonim, because of the crime, it's not just what Shaul did and killed 85 Kohanim, and the city went down the drain. It's the people, the support system, they lost their parnasa. And they have a legitimate complaint against the Jewish people, and that's why you are all now are suffering. So what did David do? He called upon the leaders of the Givonim. What can we do to appease your complaint? And they said, we want blood. We want the living survivors of David's family. We want them executed and hung up. Shaul's family executed, and David made a goyrel. He selected, I think, seven people. He made a
sons of Shaul,
seven sons, and he had them killed. It's a shocking, shocking story. How could you understand this? There's no way we can understand this story. That's why it's so dangerous to learn Nach without people who really can present that we don't understand. The main thing you need to know to teach Tanakh is a Rebbe who can convey to children that we don't understand. Don't try to think you understand anything that it says in. It's all about blood, revenge, about Avodah Zarah, Agilia Reis. How do you teach the story of Plegash Begiva to children? How do you teach the story of Dovah Basheva to children? How do you teach the story of all the Malchei of Yeravam and Rechavam, the Eglei Zav? It's not mission power. How do you explain the story of the Givonim with Shaul? It's impossible to understand. You know, one of the shuls I daven, I can't understand this for the life of me, is why they have, if you want to find the Nevi'im, you want to get the Sifrei Nevi'im, you know where they are? You need a ladder. It's all the way on the top shelf. I mean, come on, put the Nevi'im, you know, with eye level. This is the most basic, and it's done on purpose. This is the Messiah by certain groups of Hasidim. They put the Nevi'im like mamash. You got to climb on a ladder to get them. I tell you, with Dirshu, they have exams on everything. It's unbelievable. Dirshu is unbelievable. They have now even exams on Talmud Yerushalmi, Bavli Yerushalmi, and Mishnah Brura, and all the Sifrei Musar. So I know someone told me that David Hofstetter, Rabbi David Hofstetter, lives in Canada. So he went and says, how come that you don't have a bechina on Nach? Nach, it's so important. So he said, absolutely. I'll call up right now. We'll get it done. We done in a second. We'll have a part of the curriculum. But I'm only a Baal HaBos, and everything has to go through my board of the Gedolei Yisrael. Just have them sign off on it. So this fellow went. He went to all the Gedolim. They signed off in 1 second. And he brings it to David Hofstetter. He says, I need most of my clientele, probably most, are Hasidim. I need at least one Admar, one Hasidish Rebbe to sign off. They have signed off on everything. They do everything. Shulchan Aruch, Bavel Yerushalmi, v'chulu. At least get me one Admar to sign off to give exams on Nach. Not even, so he went to all the Admarim. Not even one of them wanted to sign. They signed on everything. They would not want to sign on Nach. Why? I don't know.
They were afraid of Hasidim Roma.
It's a Mesoira. It's a Mesoira. None of my business. In the literature world, no such thing. The literature world, they really are into Nach, and I'll prove it to you. If you'll go to Digitalizing today, there's a flood of Svarim coming out today on Nach from the literature world. There's a mamish, a flood. It's a new, a renaissance in the study of Nach by the literature. Hasidim, they have this Mesoira to minimize the limud of Nach. Why? I don't know why. I remember once speaking to a very well-educated woman. I went to a Suda Shabbos.
The girls' seminary, so you
see. No, even I went to a Suda Shabbos, and you know, it was many years ago when OU started doing Nach Yomi, years ago. Very, very intelligent woman, a Mulumedes, and she was into, she joined the bandwagon, and she was learning Nach Yomi, and she said to me, I was very surprised, I really understand why in the yeshiva world, they don't, in the early years, elementary school and even high school to a degree, we learned Nach, and I was in high school, to a degree, they really put it on a back burner. Because now that I'm learning Nach Bi'iyun, she said to me, it's very difficult. These stories are very, very difficult to really understand. It's all about revenge, murder, rivalries, avodah zara, gilui arayos, rape. You know, it's really difficult. And you teach us the children, and you know, you really need qualified people. You learn Bava Kamma, where are you going to go wrong? Shor shenogach es hapara. Where are you going to go wrong? Shnayim oichas de metalis. Zay mekulu shli v'zay mekulu shli. Yachlaiku. Where are you going to go wrong? This stuff, you know, she said to me, I was really surprised, because I would think she's, you know, from the more part of the modern olam, nach, which is true. If you don't know Nach, you really don't know anything. I mean, it's all in Nach. Everything is there. And I'm like, you know, I get it. So I'm assuming it's not nice for me to have a complaint. Why, you know, mind my go into a Hasidish shtibel? None of my business where they decide to put the svar. None of my business if they decide to put the Nevi'im on the top. You have to go. This is part of their Messiah. It's a statement. Be careful. When you open up that sefer and you study it, be careful. Don't think you understand anything. And this story probably rates on the very, very top. It's just because the Givoinim have a complaint against Shaul, he killed Noiv Irak Yohanan. They have a complaint. And because of that complaint, now Klal Yisrael is suffering. So we take it so seriously. Ad kedekach, to hand over to them 7 descendants of the Bechir Hashem, Shol Hamelech, Mishichmai Ulamala, Gavoya Mikol Ish, to take 7 of his children and to just hand them over and they should be murdered. It's a pella. How do you understand this? This is not the way the world operates today. It's a pell, it's mamish, hard to understand. But that's what it says in the Malbim. And the Malbim over here, it says that when this happened, and they were given over, and they were executed, and then the Ro'ov came to an end, the Umois Ha'olam were in shock. They were humbled. They were awe-inspired from Hashem, the Midas Hadin. They saw that there's no no deed, no action that Hashem overlooks, even by Klal Yisrael. They saw Bepoel that they had a complaint, and Hashem took their complaint seriously, and there was a famine for 3 years in the Jewish people, and Hashem instructed all people, Ruach HaKodesh, Nevuah, to give over the living descendants of Shaul HaMelech as retribution, and then the famine stopped. The Umos HaOlam were humbled, were inspired. They were filled with Yiras Elokim from this story.
The passers by would see the people hanging, and they say, "Who are these people hanging?" So they would say, "They're
the descendants of Shaul, royalty in punishment, royalty."
What did they do?
They took away our parnassah. They took away our parnassah. It's a pella, unbelievable. Look at the Malbim one more time. Who sad al Rav Shaul be made David Shaul Shadim vayom Hashem al Shaul v'el beis. I'm sorry. Husad, it was established. This mizmar was husad, was established. It was composed. Al horov, shoy b'mei David, shalosh shanim, vayoyimer Hashem. Hashem said, you know why there is a famine for 3 years? You want to know why? It's because El Shaul, the El Beis Hadamim. It's because of the chait of Shaul and the chait of the murder of Noiv Ir HaKoyhanim. And the consequence of this event, Vinosnu, they gave over, the Jewish people delivered. They delivered Shiva Mibnei Shaul El Hagivonim Lahamisam. You understand this?
Nope. But no, you have the Shiva branches.
Seven Manoah. Descendants. What?
Shiva branches of the Manoah.
Okay. So you want to say that? Interesting. You want to say you want? I didn't. Fascinating. You're saying something very good, Mark. Mark, you're on the mark. Is that since this mizmor is somehow, some way associated with the menorah? Like I told you, you go to the average shul, even the litvish shuls. I don't know since when did the litvaks become the kubalim? You see there on the amud a menorah lamatzeach. You see Beneginos Mizmar Shir, you see this Mizmar with all, you see, everyone's seen this in their shuls. Litvish shuls with this, now they have with a lucite, with the lights, that lights up, this fancy thing. It's a decoration in the base, HaKnesses, this menorah. And you're saying the number seven, and Mark is saying it's not a coincidence that there are seven children, descendants of Shaul HaMelech that were given over to the Gevoinim. And when they were given over, Hashem was appeased. Hashem was appeased by what the mis of these seven. It says v'nasdu shiva mebnei shol el agivaynim lahamisam vayeosar Hashem l'aretz achrechein. Hashem was appeased. The kiblu chazal she'oz nitoisu, when this event happened, the nations of the world were inspired. They recognized the justice, the tzedek of the Ribbono Shel Olam, and they were megayer. Nitoisu geirim rabim, many converts, sheroo eich don hakadosh baruch hu din geirim girurim. Now this is a very interesting term. I told this to you a couple of times. Over here, the Malbim uses a term called Geirim Girurim. So, Rabbi, I have a friend. His name is Yosef Kamenetsky, and one of his children, also another cousin, Zvi Kamenetsky. So he told me a fascinating chiddush. Is there two types of Geirim in Chazal? There are regular Geirim. We're talking about a Geir Tzedek, and there is a halachic category called Geirim Girurim, which is they're Gerim, they're Jews, but they're not Geri Tzedek. This is a tremendous chiddush to say such a thing, because when we all grew up, it's like a woman who's pregnant. Are you pregnant? A shtickle. A shtickle. I'm a little bit pregnant. What do you mean a little? Either you're pregnant or you're not pregnant. There's no in between. There's no in between. No such thing. Are you a Ger Tzedek? Are you a Ger or not? Okay, we're not talking about a Ger Toshav. A Ger Toshav is a goy who observes the Zayin Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. He's a goy. He's a goy. I'm not talking about a Geret Tzedek. But a Geret Tzedek. Are you a Geret Tzedek or you're not a Geret Tzedek? There's no in-between. Is the Beis Din that gave you your Geirus, is it an Orthodox Beis Din? Or is it not? There's no such thing in between. Go to Eretz Yisrael, to the Rabbanut. Okay, and if you pay attention to the news, this became a very controversial thing in America. It's died. You don't hear it so much about it anymore so much. But not so long ago, the Rabbanut declared that all of the Geirim that come from America are no good. Ooh, did that create a controversy? Ooh, boy, did that create a storm? What are you talking about? How dare you go and say that all of the Geirim in America, they're no good? They're such choshev rabbonim, dayanim. How could you just say that? And then they backtrack. No, whatever. Whole ganze maisa. Yes. Geirus, it's either you're a ger or you're not a ger. No. There's a Rambam. There are different Mamorei Chazal. It's a very big chiddush. There's such a principle in Judaism called Geirim Girurim, with its own Shulchan Aruch, which I don't know much about. Okay, I remember hearing this. I was very fascinated by this Shtikl Torah. A new chiddush, a new din. There is Geirim, a Ger Tzedek, and there's a Ger Toshav, and there's a new class called Geirim Girurim. Means they are class B. They're Geirim, but not 100%. A little bit of Ger. The Givoinim, the Malbum, is calling in the category of Geirim. He also seems to hold from this concept called Geirim Girurim. Why were the Givoinim the Gayer? They fooled Yehoshua. They fooled Yehoshua.
What does Girurim mean?
It means they're low class. They're
dragged along.
They're dragged down. Yeah, they're
It's
class B.
Like
I don't think it means that. I think in this context it means they're gorua, which they're worse. They're not. They're class B, economy class. They don't. Not business class. A regular ger is first class, business class. The gerim girurim, they sit in the back of the plane, by the bathrooms. Gerim girurim. Why? So we know the story with the Givonim, that really they were living, they were part of the Zayin Amimin, and they did not, and according to the Halacha, they wanted to continue to worship idols. They wanted to continue to do what they wanted to do, and according to Halacha, they would have to be eliminated, killed, or forced to leave the land, and they did not want to leave the land, so they disguised themselves. They got dressed up as if they were from America, Americans. They put on Western clothing. They took off their shmatis, put on jeans. You know, the jeans that are ripped on the bottom, torn jeans. Meshagas, no? I never understood, why would you want to wear torn jeans? Right, and they have special machines. These machines cost millions and millions of dollars to design a machine to properly rip and destroy the jeans. You go to the store, you buy a pair of jeans that are ripped. So they put on the Western clothing, and they made believe we're from America. We've heard about the Jewish people. We came out of Mitzrayim. You know, we work for the entertainment industry. We maybe could make a movie about you. We have some technology. And what did Yoshua? Okay, very good. We have no problem with you. You live in America. You live far away. What's the problem? Let's sign a treaty. And they signed the shtar. We're not going to harm you. We're not going to touch you. You're not going to touch us. B'chulu, b'chulu. And then the next day, they continue to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And who do they see? They see the people that got dressed in costumes and made believe they were from a far away land. And they said, excuse me, what are you doing here? We live here. We're from the Zayin Amamin. Either get out or we'll kill you. They pull out the shtar. And they have the CNN is there, MSNBC is there. Ramon Chayav, another favorites. The woke media.
You mean like Sheker NBC?
The woke media is all there filming, watching. Look, the Jewish people in apartheid state. Look what they're doing to the Givoinim. They signed a treaty. They signed a treaty. They're not going to touch them. And here they're in violation. So Yehoshua said, we're not going to kill them because it's just the time has not yet come. We can't start World War III. They outsmarted us. And there's nothing we can do, even though we can really nuke them in 1 second, but it'll be a chil Hashem, v'chulu v'chulu. So for the meantime, we're going to let them remain here in the land, but we're going to flex our muscles. We're going to flex our muscles and we're going to force them to be observant to a degree. We're going to force them to convert to some degree. So because their geirus was not sincere, it was under unique circumstances, lack of sincerity, they are still called geirim, but they're called geirim geirurim. And they were assigned to do labor of shoyavei mayim, choytvei etzim, for different parts of the Eretz Yisrael, including Noiv Ir HaKoyanim. So here, when these Gerim Gerurim had a complaint that they lost their Parnasa because of Shaul, they were not compensated, they were not taken care of, they went and they had a complaint against Hashem, and Hashem brought upon Klal Yisrael a famine for 3 years, and when the world saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens even to the simplest person, even the Gedim Girurim, and Hashem holds everyone accountable. There's no such thing as being above the law, not even Shaul the Melech, not even the king. There was an incredible degree of inspiration by the Goyim, and many of them became full-fledged Jews. And the uprightness of Hashem's laws. And this mizmor is coming to express the sentiment. Okay, that's very important over here. This mizmor is coming to express the sentiment of the umay sa'olam in recognition that Hashem listened to their complaint. Okay, so this is the Perush of the Malbim. So far, what do we have? We have so far 3 Perushim as to who wrote this Mizmor. This Mizmor does not have a name. There is no attribution. And Ibn Ezra, he just says it the way it is. I don't know who wrote this. The Radak says this Mizmor was authored, it's seemingly by David. He doesn't really say David, but it's seemingly that it's a continuation of describing the kibbutz Goliath. The Radak is telling us this refers specifically to the event of the Givoinim and the sentiment of the Umay Sa'ilim and Mimaka, the Mishpat of Hashem. And we mentioned as a Hagdama that the facts are, look in every shul, from all of Sefer Tilim, this Mizmar is posted on the wall, posted right in front of the Shlich Tzibor. Obviously, this mizmor is very sacred because you don't see them hanging on the wall. Any other mizmor, you know, any other mizmor they hang on the wall. This mizmor is on the front of the Aron HaKodesh in many shuls. So this mizmor, and it's called the Magen David, the menorah of the Mishkan of the Mikdash, is known as the Magen David. When David went to war. This is the shield. The menorah is the shield. Now, by the way, I wanted to bring up one point about a mogin. This is very, very important. This verse is a theme in davening. In the Shemona Esrei, I think this is an important concept in Shemona Esrei. One day I want to give a shiur on this. Discussed is a great length. There are 3 words that capture the whole Shemona Esrei. 3 critical words, and if you study the Shemona Esrei, it opens up an infinite amount of interpretation in Shemona Esrei. And that is, what are the 3 words? The 3 words are Godol, Gibor, and Noira. Yeah. These words are explosive words.
Which words?
Godol, Gibor, and Noira. Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoseinu. We have Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Ve'elokei Yaakov. And then we say, Hokel, Hashem is a God, He is a power, and this power is Godol, Gibor, and Noira. These 3 words are now going to repeat themselves throughout the entire Shemona Esrei, numerous times. Now let's, even before we go forward, let's go backwards. Avraham is the Godol. The Midah of Avraham is the Godol. The Midah of Yitzchak is the Gibor. And the Midah of Yaakov is the Noira. Avraham is Chesed. Chesed is Gedula. Ubarzilaya HaGiladi Ish Godol Meod. Why was he called Ish Godol? What do we know about Barzilaya HaGiladi? He was like a Chabad house. Everyone came to him and he provided. Gave, he would give generosity. Generosity is the Midah of Godol. Avraham is Godol Bo Anakim. Avraham is the Midah of Godol. And Godol has many, many meanings, and that's exactly the whole point of the Shemona Esrei. I'll show you in a moment. Gibor is Yitzchak. Yitzchak is, when Yaakov made a Shavua to Lavan, he upachad Yitzchak. Yitzchak, he maximized the Midah of Yira. Yitzchak, the Akedah, he went up to the Akedah, and Gevura, okay, this has to be defined better, but Gevura is associated with Yitzchak, and Yaakov is associated with the word Noira. Now, this has to be defined, not for now. That's going backwards. Now, let's go forward. This is a little bit easier. The next words of the Shemona Esrei are Kel Elyon. The next part of the Shemona Esrei, we are just elaborating upon the four terms that we have mentioned. Kel.
You mean three?
No, three slash four. Right? In this part, it's really four. Let me explain. There is Kel, Hagodol, Hagibor, Vehanoira. So after we said those four words, we're now going to explain. The first bracha is giving you a Perush Rashi. When we said above that God is a Kel, we don't just mean a power. Let's clarify. Hashem is a Kel Elyon, the ultimate power. When we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Godol, let me explain. What is the meaning of the word Godol? The meaning of the word Godol is that Hashem is a Gomel Chasodim Toivim V'Koinei HaKol. Greatness is defined by generosity. Hashem bestows kindness, and by bestowing the kindness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he owns you. A son-in-law who gets his check from his shver every month, or every week, or every day, his shver owns him. By Hashem, it's no different. Through Hashem's generosity, by bestowing kindness upon this world continuously, we acknowledge you have acquired us. We acknowledge that we are unsustainable without your chesed. Exactly. It is a theme that goes down, continuously. Exactly. It goes down.
The is
his chesed. The next is v'zoicher chastei avos. Now, what does this mean? What is the next thing? What is gevura? What does Chazal say about gevura? Ezehu gibor hakoyveish es yisro. To hold back, hold back. Why does Hashem today have rachmanis upon us? Why are we still here? How come HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't allow His anger to consume us? Zuchus avos. Zuchus Avos, we all know that. The reason why we're here today is because of Zuchus Avos. And that's Gevura. The translation of Gevura. The Mishnah tells us that Gevura Ezel Gibor HaKoyvesh Es Yitzray. It's to hold back. Why does Hashem hold back and allow us to exist? So the Shemona Esrei is telling us that the Taich of the word Gevura, of Gibor, a dimension of Gibor is that Hashem holds back is because v'zoicher chastei avos. Next, ha-noira. What is the translation of the word noira? Awesomeness. So the Shemona Esrei tells us You know where you find Hashem's awesomeness? In the realization that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is constantly in a process of bringing Goyel Levnei Vineihem Leman Shemo Ba'ahava. So in other words, what we've done over here is, I've shown you that there is a parallel here in the first bracha. Avraham is Godol. Godol is Goymel Chasodim Toivim V'Kon Yaakov. Yitzchak is Gevura, and Gevura is Zoycher Chastei Avos. Yaakov is Noira, and the Taich of Noira is Umevi Goyal Levnei Vineihem Laman Shemo Bi'Ava. Now comes the part that we need for our Mizmar. Now is what we need for our Mizmar. We're not done yet. We have one more line here. This is going to be the fourth line in the Shemoneh Esrei. Melech Ozer Umoshia Umogen. Melech is going back on Hokel. Hashem is not just a power. The word kel means a power. So we said, what kind of power? A kel elyon. It's more than that. The power is a melech. You know, there are many, many dimensions in this to these words, and they all parallel one another. Now the next part that we need, ozer. Greatness. What is greatness? What makes you great? Well, we just said you do kindness. Here is another dimension of greatness. Another dimension is to help someone. To go out, pick yourself up, and to help a person. Now, let's take a step back. What is the difference between Ozer and Moshiach? So generally, people say Ozer means God helps those who help themselves. A person is in the process of doing something, and you need a little boost. I'm already doing what I can do. I'll help you along. Moshiach is where I can't do anything. I'm stuck. I'm stuck in the mud. So Moshiach is, I'll take care. You're stuck, you can't even move, you can't help yourself, you're in prison, I'll pull you out, I'll extract you. It's a higher level. Mogain is, I don't even know what's going on. I'm doing my thing, and I'm under attack, I'll protect you. The words, there is Godol. Godol corresponds to Oizer. Greatness is this person is doing something, I'll help you. I'll help you get what you need. You're on your way. You need a little help. I'll push you along. Gevura is more. Might. Gevura is not just, I'll help you along. I'll pull you out. Gevura has a connotation of even a greater level. And this, a whole drush I just gave, is all to come to this one line, this one word. What does it mean, Noira? Awesomeness. Noira is Mogain. It parallels this. Mogain is when a person is, I'm sitting, I don't even know that people are attacking me. I have no idea. I'm oblivious. I'm oblivious to the fact that I was walking to shul and there's a truck coming, and if I would have taken my regular walk, it would have happened that this truck that's out of control would have run me over and killed me. So what did Hashem do? On the way, He sent a dog to go and distract me and to bark at me. And because He distracted me and barked at me, I went onto the other side of the street. And when the truck that was out of control came and passed, it didn't kill me. So Hashem was a mogain. And I didn't even realize. I didn't even know what Hashem was doing to protect me. To bring the Mesavev Kol HaSibois, Hashem was protecting me. That's called Noira. That's awesome. There are three words. In this one bracha alone, there's the main words are Godol, Gibor, and Noira. In this one bracha alone, there's Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. corresponding to those three words, there is Gomel Chasodim Tovim, V'zoich Chasdei Avos, Umevi Goel Levnei V'neim, corresponding to these words, these concepts, and there is Ozer Moshia Umogain, corresponding to these words. And guess what? If you go through every brach of the Shemona Esrei, you will notice there are about three segments to each brach in the Nusach. There are three segments. You want to go do one out? Look at Chonin. Ata Chonin la'odam das. That's Godol. You're very kind, Hashem. You're gracious. You give. You give man das. Then Hashem is a gibor. You know what Hashem's gevur is? Umilamed le'enoish bina. You go even another level. You don't just give basic das. Your gevura is giving man the ability to be maven dover, mitoch dover, to go to a deeper level. That's an element, a dimension of gevura. Where is Hashem's noira, his awesomeness? His awesomeness is Chonenu me itcha dea bina v'haskel. This that you allow us to ask from you, all three, and which culminates in seichel. Dea we already said, that's das. Bina we already said. But the ability to build upon dea bina and to come to seichel, which is even a higher level, that's Noira. That's Noira. You have to go through every single bracha in the Shmona Esrei and figure out, you'll see, there are three segments in Kimat every bracha. Kimat every bracha has three different sections, and the three sections all take you back to the very first bracha of Shmona Esrei, where we lay out three words which say it all. Godol, Gibor, and Noira. Godol, Gibor, and Noira are multifaceted, multidimensional. And each bracha, you can break up kimat, each bracha into three parts, and you can actually see there's Godol, greatness, generosity, kindness. And then there is build upon that. I'm not just going to be kind to you. I'm going to do the kindness with a gevura. And then there is a higher level of, wow, noira. Again, these are abstract concepts. But the more you look at these trials, these threes, and you see how you get even a greater, more in-depth appreciation of what these three terms really mean. And what's relevant for our conversation, our discussion here in Sefer Tehillim on this Mizmor, Lamatzeach b'neginois Mizmor Shir is the Mogein David. It is the Mogein David. And the Mogein is what corresponds to the word Noira in the Shmona Esrei. The word Noira goes throughout the entire Shmona Esrei. It's like it's the highest level. Noira. Here we're coming to Yimos HaMashiach. Mashiach over and over. It's not just about us. The Hayo Hashem Lemelech al Kol Haaretz. Bayom Hu Yehiyeh Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad. The whole world, as someone here mentioned, the Umash of Kama mentioned, this whole world, this whole Mizmar, it's all about the nations of the world. La'das bo'oretz darkecha, b'chol goyim yeshuasecha, yoducha amim again kulam, yismuchu viranu le'umim, kis tishpait amim. Again and again, the whole thing is at mamish. How many times does it say the word amim? Maybe it says seven times over here. V'yiru oiso, call off Se'aretz. This is Noira. Noira is encompassing the ultimate. We're not just living in a little shtetl, the 8 million Jews. The 8 million Jews is an Or La'amin. When the world wakes up and appreciates Klal Yisrael, their chosenness, their specialness, it ignites an Orla Amim that brings about a revelation of Noira in this world, an awesomeness. Okay, I'm just translating. What does it mean, the word Noira? I mean, the word Noira is a very powerful word, which you can't translate it. Go through the entire Shemona Esrei and take section number 3 of each bracha and compare it to section 1 and 2. Look at the bracha of Atochoni and Adam Das. There you can see it very clearly. There is Das, the basic building blocks of knowledge. Then there is Bina. Bina is a higher level. Take the basic building blocks, Mavin, Dovar, Mitoich, Dovar. And then comes Seichel. What is Seichel? I don't know. I don't think anyone today has it anymore. I don't know where you can find someone with Seichel. But obviously, in the Brach of Atochonein, Seichel is a different league. If you start off with Das, and then you go to Bina, and then you say, Choneinu me'itucha dea, Nusach Ashkenaz here, okay, I apologize to all those diehard Svardim here, Nusach Svard, but Choneinu me'itucha dea, Bina, ve'haskel. Obviously, Seichel is in a category by itself. Godol, Gibor, Noira. What is the Mogain? Melech Oizer is Godol. Umoshia, Gevura. Umogain? Hashem is a shield? Wow. That's a different league. That's a different league. That captures Noira. And it awakens us to appreciate that what we really need more than anything else in this world is protection. This is an old yisod I always tell you over. It's so, so true. Hashem created a person with everything he needs. People, they run to Gedolei Yisrael, they run to them, bracha, 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 skula, skula, skula. You don't need any brachas. You don't need any skulas. You know what you need? You just need protection. You just need protection not to be distracted from the bracha that you already have. Most people in this world already have so much bracha, they have enough bracha for multiple lifetimes.
Two guys were at Lag B'Omer, Shem Bar-Yochai, and they were looking for Shidduchim. So one guy says to the other one, you don't ask Shem Bar-Yochai for a bracha. You have to ask Shem Bar-Yochai to ask Rav Shaya for a bracha.
What? What is this going to do? Okay. You need protection. I told you many times, the Chazon Ish. He said that the parents daven for children, the Iker Tefillah is Hashem should protect them from the distractions in this world. A child comes to this world, he got it all. Don't worry about him. He has Yiras Shemayim, he has Kishroinos, he has more than he needs to be Matzliach and to become who he's meant to be. What goes wrong in this world? The kid has a friend. The kid, you buy him a toy that's not necessarily in his best interest, and you send him to the wrong this and the wrong that, and he gets distracted. And years pass, and by the time he wakes up, and you wake up, it's too late. He lost out. The things that he should have been focused on are, it's the distractions that destroy us all. That's the way it is. The distractions destroy us all. We think we need bracha, 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 bracha. You have enough distractions. You need Hashem to protect you. And the act of protecting a person is an awesome. It's more mighty than Godol and Gibor. It's Noira. What is the difference? I don't know. I don't know how to translate these words. But it's in a different league. And the Umma Yisraelam, they've been trying to destroy us, this we will say, from time immemorial. They know better than us how HaKadosh Baruch Hu protects us and guides us and shelters us from what's going on. All right, Rabbi Yisrael, this is the Hakdama to this Mizmar. Tomorrow, we proceed to go through the text of the Mizmar. We're done with the Hakdama. Okay. Rabbi Wolf, good morning.
Good morning.
You came the perfect time.
Yes,